The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This is an historic and important day for Ireland and for Palestine. On the 21st of January 1919, Ireland asked the world to recognise our right to be an independent state. Our message to the free nations of the world was a plea for international recognition of our independence, emphasising our distinct national identity, our historical struggle, and our right to self-determination and justice. Today, we use the same language to support the recognition of Palestine as a state.
I'm joined in studio by Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dan Ehrlich. Good morning, Ambassador, and welcome. Your reaction to Simon Harris and the logic that he offered there for
recognition. We were disappointed by today's announcement and the decision on recognition, which, to be honest, follows our worrying initiatives and statement in recent months. And
So therefore, it was no surprise.
History here in Ireland, I don't think in Ireland's case any political steps that were imposed would have been welcomed. And in our case, you cannot impose a political announcement or statement or any country other than the bilateral entities that need to discuss it directly. My question, I have many questions about these announcements. What is the recognition entails? What is Ireland recognizing? If we agree for the right of self-determination, of course, but what institutions that this state has? What is the connection between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, since they're bitter rivals? What will happen in Gaza? Most importantly, how does this help the people of Gaza? Today, waking up to this news, how does this help them under the Hamas regime, brutal, cynical regime that they have been dealing with? The fact that about half an hour after this announcement, a Hamas official has welcomed and congratulated the statement, saying that these recognitions are the direct result of the brave so-called resistance, they call it, the October 7th massacre and the war that they launched since. So the fact that Hamas is welcoming this step, the fact that Iran is welcoming this step, is a clear sign that this is seen as a price for terrorism. And this is an alarming sign for all of us, not just in Israel.
Talking to the Taoiseach earlier this morning, he was saying that we often recognize states but maybe disapprove of governments. And in the same way, they may disapprove of and condemn, indeed, the actions of Hamas on October the 7th. That doesn't mean that they can't recognize the idea of a state of Palestine.
But this is a different situation, because right now we are recognizing, or Ireland is supposedly recognizing, a so-called state without any due process. The fact that even the UN has formed different criterias into what does this entail to recognize a state. So the cases I think that he was mentioning were cases where states were recognized and then the regime changed. So that is a different case. Right now, there are no formal institutions that control all of this so-called state. And again, how does this benefit the people of Gaza? And why now, in the midst of a war that Hamas launched, not just on Israelis, but the abuse that they're holding against their own population, why now to take this step?
You have been recalled for consultation. What does that actually mean? Because I discussed with the Taoiseach earlier the idea of trying to maintain diplomatic relations. There were calls for you to be expelled, as there were calls for the Russian ambassador to be expelled. And the government resisted those and said, no, we have to keep diplomatic channels open. So what does your recall actually mean?
I'm being recalled for consultations in order to discuss the possible steps and the future of our relations. When I came to Ireland 8-9 months ago, I was very optimistic about the different collaborations that we can broaden, be it in the sector of cybersecurity, medicine, climate change. We have a lot of Israelis working here with tech companies. We have a strong and vibrant diaspora in both countries. So there are many ways that we can expand these collaborations. And I'm still optimistic that we can do it, but we still need to address right now a worrying trend of anti-Israeli initiatives that we see here in Ireland, also the rise of anti-Semitism that we see here in Ireland. And what I call anti-Semitism is not the criticism of Israel. That, of course, is not anti-Semitism. What we see as anti-Semitism is the direct vilification of all Israelis and also the Jewish communities. We see it in protests on universities. We see it in denying the national identity of the Jewish people. And if we talk about national identity and recognition of and self-determination, the same way that right now is being recognized for the Palestinian, then we would assume that the Israelis and Zionism should be acknowledged in the same way here in Ireland.
I mentioned earlier in passing that this was not unforeseen, that you knew this was going to come at some point. The Irish government has been making these noises for quite a while.
I'll be honest that I am still surprised about the timing. Why now during a war? I think most of all what we are concerned is that it jeopardizes any hope of Hamas releasing our 128 children, women and men that are still held kidnapped by Hamas in Gaza. Because again, the fact that Hamas congratulated it tells us everything that we need to know about the way that they see it. They see it as a win for terrorism, because they're given, allegedly, what they were trying to do. Instead of sending a clear message of condemnation and pressure on Hamas, this gives Hamas hopes. It doesn't give the Palestinian people and the people of Gaza hope.
Do you believe, as many people do, that this move by the Irish government and the Norwegians and the Spanish is, if you like, accelerated by the pictures coming out of Gaza and the activities of Israel? I mean, so many thousands of people killed and injured, children, women, innocent parties to the whole thing, that those kind of pictures coming out have provoked governments into doing various things.
I'll separate the question perhaps in two parts. First of all, this war is tragic. It should never have started. We did not want this war, and we wanted it to end a long time ago. It can end tomorrow. We can reach a ceasefire if Hamas releases all of the hostages, 128 children, women, and men that they are brutally and cynically holding against international law. So that needs to be said. And second, I think there are other ways in promoting a possible solution. And we're working with allies and we're discussing with many countries about what can be done for the day after and how can the Palestinian people live and be able to rule themselves without the threat of Hamas, not only on us, on the Israelis, but also on them. So there are more proactive and beneficial ways of doing so. We saw the unilateral recognition by Sweden in 2014. It did not help the Palestinian people. It did not promote any peace process, because a peace process cannot be imposed.
But going back to that question of the imagery coming out of Gaza, of the people being maimed and bombed, and even the Americans accepting that some of their weaponry was not going to be passed on to Israel. They did not want 2,000-pound bombs being dropped on Rafah.
But that was a hypothetical situation.
Not hypothetical was what they said. They believed that American weaponry had been used in Gaza, although they didn't have proof positive because it was a war zone. But the likelihood is that how much of your munitions come from America anyway?
I don't think we disagree on the tragic situation in Gaza. We disagree on the amount of aid that goes in that is not reported here. We disagree on comments by UN agencies that there is discrepancies between that they tell us. We disagree about numbers, and the UN has already admitted that the numbers that they're repeating, which are numbers given by Hamas, are not correct, and there are not the numbers of women and children that have been affected are not as high as Hamas has declared.
But there are still many thousands. You cannot.
There are still
that.
Tragic images that come out, and we need to ask ourselves why. And that condemnation of Hamas is something that is missing in the conversation here in Ireland. I did not hear condemnation of what is going on in hospitals, in schools, in mosques, in UN agencies, under UNRWA organization. We need to address it because they are responsible for what is going on in Gaza and what is going on to their population.
This is your contention that they use their own population as human shields in schools, in hospitals and in United Nations facilities.
And abusing the infrastructure, abusing international aid. We see them steal international aid. The amount of money, time and effort put into the tunnels that are just everywhere underneath the whole Gaza Strip, if they could have only invested that money in infrastructure for the benefit of their own population, I think we would have been in a very different situation. And nobody's talking about it here. And I understand the people of Ireland have a very strong sentiment to it, and we welcome it. But what I ask, if you want to help the people of Gaza, then help free them from Hamas. Help them to control themselves in a dignified way that doesn't involve genocidal imminent threats on Israel.
Now, the Irish government and all the ministers, Taoiseach Down, always condemn the activities of Hamas on October 7th.
But I think that is the specifically when we need to clarify. The condemnation is welcomed on the atrocities of October 7th. But we need to remember that Hamas's atrocities did not stop on October 7th. They only started. What they have been doing every day since, they would have killed more Israelis every day if they would have been given an option. And unfortunately, the way that they're using and abusing their own population also, these are atrocities that we need to discuss and need to condemn. So holding them accountable for the atrocities of October 7th is not enough.
Why do you think that the narrative appears to be controlled by pro-Palestinian elements rather than Israel? With all the friends you certainly had in the world, in Western Europe and in the United States.
But we see that bias, very one-sided opinion, especially here in Ireland. We get a lot of support and we get phone calls and emails and a lot of many different messages from different Irish people who say that they are not represented by the media or politicians, that they are the so-called silent majority, because they are distancing themselves from this obsession, for lack of another word. Because what we've seen with the different initiatives in the past months and the different statements is not people who worry about how to benefit the Palestinian people, but more about the condemnation of Israel and how to isolate Israel and how to discriminate against Israel. And that is what worries me.
Now, moving forward, we know that Benny Gantz criticized Benjamin Netanyahu and gave him a deadline as to the master plan for after the war ends. First of all, there's no sign of this war ending. It was intended to free the hostages quickly, defeat Hamas quickly. That has not happened quickly.
Because we need to eliminate the threat of Hamas and we need to bring back the hostages. Now, I'm sure that every person listening would have want their government to make sure that they are returned safely. If this were happened to them or their family, their members, their friends, all of them would want to have any Irish citizens return safely home and would want the minimum of living safely at home. Right now, we still have many people who have not returned to where they live in Israel because of the threat, not only in the south, but also in the north.
That rings very hollow, though, when you think of the number of Palestinians who've been displaced in Gaza.
But again, we ask them to move so they're not affected because we
see... But they're displaced one way or the other, whether you're fleeing from explosions in Gaza City or fleeing from explosions in Khan Yunis or explosions in Rafah, you are displaced from your home place.
Right now, the tragedy of the war is the cynical playbook of Hamas because they wanted this situation. We are fighting an impossible enemy because this enemy has no value, no respect for human lives, obviously not ours, but also not theirs and not their population.
Does that not suggest that the whole pursuit of this war was wrong-headed from the beginning.
I'll remind you that we did not pursue this war. We did not want this war.
No, it was provoked by Hamas on October the 7th, this current state of hostilities between Hamas and Israel, provoked on October the 7th. But there may have been other ways to pursue this rather than an all-out invasion of Gaza.
This is not another one of the so-called cycles of violence between Israel and Hamas or another terror organization. On October 7th, Hamas launched the biggest attack, killing more Jewish and Israelis, and unfortunately also foreigners in Israel. This was the biggest attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust, and it continued since, with firing missiles, with different infiltration attempts. So they did not stop.
But your response has been, if you like, ineffective because you haven't achieved your aims.
Well, right now we don't have missiles being fired at our civilian population every day. That has been minimized. What we see them is benefiting from the pressure that is being put on Israel instead of on Hamas. And we work closely with many allies who understand it and who also see the threat of Hamas as something that affects the whole Western world and not just Israel.
Now, your foreign minister has ordered your recall to have these consultations. And he said, Israel won't overlook those who undercut its sovereignty and endanger its security. He warned the country's rash decisions will have other dire consequences. Ireland and Norway intend to send a message today to the Palestinians and the whole world. Terrorism pays. The twisted step by these states is an affront to the victims of October the 7th. It also harms efforts to bring back the 128 hostages. What does he mean by dire consequences for Ireland?
Well, I'm being recalled for consultation, so it's too soon to know what will other measures be taken. This is the point of those discussions to be held in Israel. But if you don't want to take our word for it, if you just listened to the senior officials of Hamas welcoming this recognition, seeing this as a prize for terrorism. So it's not a statement that we only issued. They issued a thank you for Ireland for saying that this is a direct result of their atrocities and the terrorism that they've been inflicting, not on just Israel, but their own population and the region. The fact that Iran and their representative here have welcomed this, Iran, this malign regime that abuses also its own people and abuser of human rights, welcomes this step. I think that's alarming.
Whatever about the rights and wrongs of everything, the response to October the 7th, do you accept that it has damaged Israel's standing in the world?
What damaged Israel is the fact that on October 7th, our borders were infiltrated in order to kill, butcher, maim, torture, and kidnap citizens, not just Israelis, not just Jewish people, but any people, any person that they encounter on their way, out of a direct attempt to eliminate Israel. There, we know that their intentions were far more brutal and brutal than they ever intended, and they were given the opportunity to do. So we need to make sure that that threat is not repeated. When you listen to the Hamas officials, they claim and they proudly say that they will repeat it in any given opportunity. We hold these threats very seriously. We would have hoped that, like us, Ireland will see these threats very seriously. The fact that Hamas welcomes today's recognition is an alarming sign.
Do you find it embarrassing that your prime minister may be subject to an arrest warrant by the International Criminal Court?
I find it absurd that the prosecutor has made that statement before doing the whole due diligence, before discussing with a democratic state, with a very robust judicial sector to discuss the different concern that it might have had. So I was surprised that to see the statement that equates, in a way, a democratic state and the leaders of a genocidal...
They're not necessarily charged with the same thing.
They are completely not charged.
People are, you know, on opposite sides of a war doesn't mean that both are not committing crimes against humanity.
We are a democratic state who is obligated and acts under the international law. And it's not something that we say very lightly, because that also puts a toll and responsibility on us. But we are proud to do so. We have been working tirelessly to make sure that aid goes in. We have scaled up operations to make sure that there are no limits on the aid going in. We know that there are problems with the distribution of aid within Gaza, and that is also the responsibility of UN agencies that have not said so publicly. We know that different UN agencies are saying some things for donations and then in private conversations say other things. Sometimes I cannot blame them because they're on the ground with Hamas at the mercy of the terrorist of Hamas. But we need to be more critical of that. And every day we publish the amount of trucks that went in. So to hear these absurd accusations, I think, again, it's counterproductive at this time and sends a very wrong message to the abuse of the international system.
Ambassador from Israel to Ireland, Dan Ehrlich, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have time for today. Reminder that our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.